Please remain standing for our scripture lesson, which comes from Judges chapter 16, verses 23 through 31. If you weren't with us last week, you'll recall that Delilah finally found out the secret to Samson's strength. They shaved off his hair off of his head and plucked his eyes. So now let's look at what happens afterwards. Now the Lord of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." So it happened, when their hearts were merry, and that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may perform for us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple, so that I can lean on them." Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. About 3,000 men and women on the roof were watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him, and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. You may be seated.
Indeed, you may. May God add his rich blessing to that fine reading from the New King James this morning as we close out the 16th chapter out of 21 in our continuing series in the book of Judges, such a relevant book for us today. Very pertinent. And we'll see in chapter 17 a lot of spiritual insanity taking place that reminds us very much of our own day. Very applicable. But before we go into today's text, as is always our right tradition, let's take time to pray, to seek the Lord and His face and favor. Father, that's exactly what we do here as we come before You, recognizing the principal nature of preaching, how important that is, that Christ speaks to His church through preaching, cause us to be built up in our most holy faith by this example of Samson at the very end of his life, Lord. Fill us with Your Spirit, with wisdom, and Your grace, so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So just when the Philistines think they can finally stop and rejoice in and praise their false idol god of Dagon, and I love that name, of all the false gods of the Old Testament, this one of my favorite, Dagon. I always think of Dagon, you know, the poor Philistines with Dagon. Kenny threw an extra R in there, I think called him Dragon, but his real name is Dagon. And the Philistines think, wow, now it's our opportunity to really praise Dagon. Look what he's done for us. He's finally brought this foe of ours, Samson, to his knees and humbled him and brought him under control. When we think about biblical heroes, we should think about Samson. He comes along and he literally crashes their party, destroying Dagon's temple, just like we, the Church of God, are to do today. Destroy the temples of all the idolaters. Wipe them out. Knock them down. We're going to quote from the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 a little later. Pull down their arguments, their strongholds. Destroy them by the gospel of grace and mercy. And he kills off a lot of God's enemies, as they were to do in the old covenant economy. These types of biblical heroes, like Samson, are interesting. And if we consider him, not thinking for now about our Lord Jesus, who's in a category of his own, few, if any of them, ended their lives in a more grand and glorious way than did Samson. You ever thought about that? I mean, Christ's death on the cross, we're going to talk about that a little later in the sermon. A great, ignominious death of the king, and yet it turned out to lead to the devil's greatest defeat. And Samson, in his death, destroys not just a bunch of Philistines, but all the lords, all the kings of the Philistines, all the kings of the Sodom of our day, as it were brought down, Gomorrah, to the dust of the earth. This is one of our great privileges as well. Now, in their deaths, our Lord Jesus and Samson crushed the Lord's adversaries in awe-inspiring ways. The Lord Jesus' death reverberates all the way down to us today on this Sabbath day when we celebrate His glorious resurrection. Now, dears, the process of life is very important. We're going to talk about the end of life, but that's not to take this fleshly thought to the heart that some do, like, I can live the way I want, I can be a pagan, I can live in the flesh, and then if maybe I get it right at the very end of my life, everything will be fine. That's not the point of today's lesson at all. And I'm not even saying that's the case necessarily uniformly with Samson. What I am saying is the process of life leads to the end or conclusion of our days on earth, which are to be spent in glorious victory for Christ. We ought to end our lives on a high note, breaking the tape, going into glory with exuberant joy in Christ, the one who had saved us. Therefore, let's make it our goal this morning to run the race of faith well all the way to the end of our lives. In a little while, we're going to study together Judges 16, 23 through 31, title of today's sermon, Samson's Glorious End. I know we have visitors. Feel free to use the outline if you'd like. Note the doctrine. In Christianity, all is well that ends well. And nothing ends well that is not prepared for in advance. Again, it's not like we can say, well, just do our own thing until I think I'm about ready to die. And by the way, who knows when that day is going to come anyway? Some people's lives end very unexpectedly. We must prepare for it. No one wins the race of faith without actually running in it, being part of it, in that great marathon. Now, in this life, we can, by faith, see the goal being Jesus and more Christ-likeness, but none of us know how far we have to keep running in order to achieve that finish line. That's the interesting thing. We can see the goal. We know to whom we're aiming, the one to whom we live for and run toward, but we don't know how long we're going to have to keep running. Now, some of the saints, when they get older in their years, they can rightly suspect that maybe those days and years aren't that far down the road. But even there, no one really knows. In Christianity, all is well that ends well. Despite the many trials that accompany every believer's life, and we all have them, and Samson had them, stumbling blocks along the way, difficult times where we can't see the way, where we're given forks in the road, where things are difficult to discern, where we're tempted to get off the way. These are all parts of a true Christian's life. Samson had them, we have them. The race is not won by the swift, necessarily, but by those who persevere, who don't give up, who keep going, who press through the pain and the difficulty, who keep getting up and going on, who confess their sins, receive forgiveness, and continue to be faithful. It's the proverbial story of the tortoise and the hare. The tortoise just keeps going and going and going. The hare comes and goes, stops and pauses. It is the persevering one that gains the victor's crown. We do trip and stumble. We lunge headlong from time to time in this life. But so long as we don't quit and we continue to go on, there's solid hope for us from Jesus, who gives us that grace of strength and hope to continue and not to give up. Despite the many trials that accompany every believer's life, only the ones who break the tape in the race of faith are truly victorious. Now, practically speaking, what does this poetic language of breaking the tape in the race of life really mean? It's got to do with. Well, it means that when we die, we are found to be living. That our hearts are breathing. Love for God, love for Christ, desire for His mercy and grace, living in faith, and members of His holy church, worshiping Him on His day. After all, ultimately nothing else in life matters. If that isn't the case, does it? Who cares if you have health, if you have money, if you have the things of the world, if you have fame or prestige? Who cares? What good is it? If we aren't in a proper stead with God, if we aren't walking with Christ, persevering in the race of faith, what good is one's life? It's a waste. It's of no value whatsoever. There's no doubt that Samson laid some eggs along the way of his life, but when crunch time came, he was found to be on the right side of the angels. And he ends it in a glorious and grand fashion. John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress, which in my understanding is the second most read book in the history of the world, only behind the Bible. Of course, Bunyan, great Puritan, 17th century. His book reminds us vividly of the reality of the multitude of hardships that attend any faithful Christian along the way of life. But in the end, all the true saints do make it. We do persevere. Perseverance of the saints, that last point in the Doctrines of Grace tulip acrostic of Calvinism, very important. All apprehended in Jesus Christ and taken in by gospel faith into our hearts. There's your doctrine. In Christianity, all is well that ends well. Now we're going to look at the text and do some exegesis. We're going to interpret it. We're going to apply it to our lives. Consider with me verses 23 through 31 of chapter 16 of Judges. Extremely relevant. Remember again that all the Bible is inspired. All of it is valuable. All of it has purpose, and all of it directs us to Jesus, our blessed Lord. Surely God was pleased. Now let's consider here the satisfying conclusion of Samson's life. Surely God was pleased with the way Samson entered into glory. Let us be blessed by this as well, even many thousands of years later. And now behold the satisfying conclusion of Samson's life. Verses 23 and 24. He frustrated idolaters and their false god. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." When the people saw him, that is Samson, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." So just as soon as they see Samson, they praise their false god. Just like the idolaters did when Christ was crucified, they saw the blessed Lord Jesus, and the demons and the reprobate thought they had finally crushed their mortal enemy of Jesus. Finally put him to death forever and ever. No more trouble with him. See, the Philistines, though, are giving credit to the wrong source. It is true that someone handed over Samson to them, but ultimately the sovereign God, the true God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the triune God of the Christian faith, He did allow Samson, for God's purposes, to be handed over to them. But for a good purpose and a good end. So it is in every age, dears, every age. Sinners exalt some great cultural idol over against Christ. Pick an idol. The idol of the day. the great sin of the age. Exalt that over God. We finally defeated God. We put Him to death. We can finally pursue our own ends. And just when they begin celebrating and worshiping this idol God, here comes Jesus to crash the party, to destroy their joy, and to snuff them out. In the grandest fashion, that dynamic was demonstrated on the cross. Lucifer and his angels, sinful men allied with them, are rejoicing again over the death of this great tormentor of sin and sinners who don't repent and who hate God. And 3 days later, Jesus rises from the dead, crushing Satan's head and vanquishing his false and illegitimate kingdom among men. See, dears, here's an important point. Just as in the ancient world, so today in 2013, and in every other era, life is all about a great battle of the gods. Did you know that? The true God against all the false gods. When sinners sense a victory over the true God by some supposed evidence of their triumph, laws being changed, marriage laws being changed, mores of culture being changed, now we got them. We got them now. God is going down. Just when they sense this victory and start celebrating and worshiping their idol gods, here comes the risen Christ and the power of His Spirit, even through the people of His church, to destroy them and to bring them down. For us, then, let us on this resurrection Sabbath day be ever grateful and thankful to God, the true God, and let us, they worship their false gods, let us worship today the real God, King Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, with heartfelt praise and glory. The satisfying conclusion of Samson's life. He frustrated idolaters and their false god. Now, verses 25 through 28, he, that is Samson, with God, got the last laugh. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray, strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Now here, dears, the Philistines, 3,000 of them, all the lords, the big shots, the governors, the presidents of that day, all the Philistines are gathered. They're up on the roof. And they're watching Samson, their great enemy, who had killed thousands of them in the past. And they're laughing at him. They're in a drunken, idolatrous state of revelry. But little do they know that very soon, their cries of joy will be turned into screams of anguish and terror and desperation and death and doom and destruction. And even as we will read in a little while about the blocks of stone and the pieces of the pillars that Samson was pushing against coming down, even on him, Samson alone, even thousands of years later, we might, if we listen carefully enough and read between the lines, hear Samson snickering at the Philistines, laughing at them. I got you. Even one great last time. Dears, do you know, you're Calvinists, many of you, do you know that God, the Bible teaches that God laughs at the wicked? Those who refuse to repent, who exalt, hear the gospel, hate it, deny the Christ, set up all the idols, We're not to take delight in the death of the wicked. We are to pray for the redemption of all men everywhere. We are to preach the gospel in love and grace. But when those set up their idols against God, we may with God rightly laugh at them. Now listen to these words from Psalm 2, verses 2 through 4. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, that's Christ, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." We may follow the good and holy, noble example of our righteous and pure God, and sometimes do the same and laugh at the wicked. Laugh at their foolishness. Mock them. And I can hear Samson here, even as he dies, taking delight in doing the Lord's work, in knocking down the pillars and structures of idolatry and falsehood, even in his day, as we are to do as well today. It is true, Samson goes down. He does die with the Philistines, we'll read about it. But he goes down in a blaze of glory, analogous to, although infinitely subordinate to, that of our Savior. Consider this for a moment. According to verse 27, 3,000 Philistine men and women are in Dagon's temple that day. And all 3,000 plus one, we include Samson, enter into eternity on that day. And the only one of those 3,001 that we can say with assurance, without any doubt, based on the Word of God, Hebrews 11, that entered into glory that day was the hero of the faith here, Samson. What about us? Do we wish to stand with the Philistines like many religious people are today? Lining up to kiss the Baal God idol of the day. Following the liberal Protestants and the apostate denominations. Following the president and the vice president. Following the reprobated leaders of our day. Following probably a lot of evangelicals today. And kiss the Baal God, the Dagon of our day? Or will we, like Samson, fight to the end and do all we can to glorify God to the end of our days, standing and living for and with Jesus? The satisfying conclusion of Samson's life. He frustrated idolaters and their false god. He, with God, got the last laugh. Now verses 29 through 31, he conquered many of God's foes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's and on all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. Now what Samson does here, especially in verses 29 and 30, where he pushes against the pillars of the temple of the false god Dagon and brings it down, is a picture in principle of what we are to be doing in our lives as well in the culture. In spreading the gospel of love, preaching the good news of truth in Jesus Christ, but also destroying every false gospel raised up against our Savior. See, it's not good enough just to be nice guys. Too many Christians are just nice. I'll preach the gospel, but I'm not going to touch your God. That God to you is favored by you. You like that God. That God you think does you favors like they thought Dagon did in sending Samson to them. No, true love says that God is killing you. That God will send you to hell. that God will damn you. And I am here to destroy that God of yours. That's what true love does. Too many Christians are just nice guys. Well, let's be nice. I like being nice. Believe it or not. But love goes beyond niceties, dears. We are to destroy all the structures of falsehood and idolatry wherever we can. Listen to these words. This isn't Old Testament. Sometimes you hear these Marcionite Christians who say, oh, that's Old Testament, it doesn't apply. Well, that's baloney, number one. But number two, even if you believe that, here's some words from the New Testament. This comes from the pen of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians, I promised it earlier, chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Wonder if he might have had Samson in his mind. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Nobody is allowed just to do their own thing. The believer is to bring everybody's thought as much as we can into captivity. It starts in the pulpit, but it goes on from there through your work in ministry this week. And then we see the temple of Dagon come crashing down. And please, dears, every idolatrous temple ever since the beginning of the fall to this day has come crashing down. But the temple of God, the church of Jesus, continues to march on. You ever notice that? We can look at, in the past, at all the idol temples that have gone down. I don't just mean Dagon's. I mean all kinds of philosophical, different spiritual, religious temples, thought temples, any kind of idols, they all come down. So you have 3,000 plus one dead people here. And the Philistines are Philistines. Now, they might have had a little bit of civil decency in them. Maybe some living Philistines came and dragged out these dead Philistines from underneath the rocks and the pillars and the great stones that had fallen on them. And maybe buried them in Philistine cemeteries. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they just said, this is Dagon's temple. These guys worship Dagon. Dagon's dead, they're dead, maybe they should all just sort of lie here together. But notice something different about Samson. He's not left there among those Philistines, his body. His family comes down, they take him back to the land of promise, back to the land of Canaan, the land given to the people of God, back to the people and place of the covenant and the promise of God. And he is buried there, not among the Philistines. And from that place someday, Samson's body will rise from the grave unto just resurrection of the righteous in Christ, just like all of the true saints among us here today will as well. Yes, in some parts of Samson's life, he may have well given us some cause for pause, but in his death, Samson is glorious because he fought the battle of the Lord well. And I like that choice of the hymn we just sang a little while ago. It really picked up on that. Fought the battle of the Lord well, and he crushed God's enemies. Now, in the Old Covenant, they did it a little different than we do today. We don't kill people like that, but we do kill their idols. And we kill their thoughts, and we must do it if we love them, so that they can see the glorious gospel and the grace and favor of Jesus, if God would so choose to open their minds. May we have the same spirit that Samson does. The goal of living a life that ends well to the glory of our King and true God, the triune God of the Christian faith. There's your doctrine in Christianity, all is well that ends well. The satisfying conclusion of Samson's life. Finally, in further application, let us learn how Samson's end encourages us in our Christian life. Though we've already covered a lot of this in the sermon up to this point, let's consider a little bit more of how we're encouraged in our walk of faith, our race of faith, by Samson and how he ended. First, his death reminds us of Jesus' crucifixion. Dears, remember on that fateful day, Good Friday, the original one, sinners mocked our Savior as he hung on the tree, dying for his elect church there, did they not? Did they not say, he saved others, he cannot save himself? If he's the Son of God, come on down from there. Did they not mock him? Was he not able to call on any number of angels to come and destroy those people if he wished to? But Jesus hung and died on that cross for us. Even the repentant thief didn't start out being repentant. Matthew 27:44, he also insulted the one who would become his blessed Savior, just like we did before our conversions. Because we also were Philistines. We're all of the same lump. We also wanted to worship our Dagons and any other god that would exalt our own flesh and our own sins and our own desires. We're no better than the Philistines. God brought us to himself by sovereign grace. And it was in that cruel death of Jesus on the cross where our sins were paid for, remitted, and atoned for, where the precious blood of Christ fell to the ground for us. Anyone or anything that brings us closer to Jesus is doing us a great favor, and Samson certainly does that for us in his demise. Christ's death on the cross was scandalous and ignominious. People asked then, as they do today, how could it be that the great king of the earth and heaven would die in this fashion? And even as Samson died with many sinners, Christ died with many sinners too. Because the Bible teaches that we who are in Christ died with him on his cross. He died with and for many sinners, who by the grace of mercy, the marvelous sovereign work of God in our hearts, regenerating us, causing us to be born again, we believe in him and are saved. Dear, Samson's death reminds us of Jesus' crucifixion, which led to Christ's and our resurrection. See, death without resurrection is no good. What is death without resurrection? When you think of a worldling, they want to have fun, do what they want to do, die, and hope there's nothing left. That's not true. They're going to have to face Almighty God on the judgment day. Death with resurrection is of ultimate worth. When Jesus was raised from the tomb, so were a whole number, all the number of the elect church, from every age, including Samson and us. In light of this, let us, the body of Christ here today, listen to and live by these words from Colossians 3:1-4. If then you were raised with Christ, resurrection, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the attitude and the stance of victory in faith in Jesus. A victory that overcomes the world. A faith that overcomes the world. Let us practice this faith, dears, in Jesus' blood and righteousness always. Samson's glorious end is glorious because it's Christ-like. A lot of Christ imagery there. In his death, the end of his days. Of course, Christ is risen. And remember, that is the goal of our life as Christians in this world, to be more like Christ. And Samson did that for us in his death. Let's thank God for it and praise God as we pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful way you used Samson, even at the very end of his life. We're grateful, Lord, and we know he's in the hall of faith. We thank you for the example, the picture, the imagery of Jesus being mocked, being turned over, as it were, to the Philistines, the Romans of his day, to be crucified, be laughed at, and yet to conquer Satan, crush his head, and vanquish all the false gods and idols of every era and every age. We thank you that we stand in that glorious tradition, the great tradition of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the New Covenant, the Puritans, that great tradition, Lord, that will always endure to the end of the age. We bless you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.